Amen, amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. We thank you, Lord. Your word is anointed. It's quick. It's powerful. And we open up our hearts, Lord. Open up our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, we taught on trusting God through transition. And I was praying this week and then asked the Lord, what do you want me to share with the congregation this week? And he said, I want you to talk about staying on course. Okay, so in the middle of transition, God wants to stabilize us. Because we're in this transition. We remember that Bishop talked about how the church is in 2025, we've entered another dimension. Of the kingdom of God. We've entered a new level in the kingdom of God. So we're in transition. We're allowing God to stabilize us in the midst of that. And sometimes when things change, you know, it's you feel unstable. But we have to stay on course. You know, regardless of what's going around, like the video talked about, there's chaos. There's chaos everywhere. And if there isn't something that's chaotic, the devil will stir up a chaotic event or something to try and throw people off course, to steal our peace. But God is the God of peace. God is the Prince of Peace. And he says he will crush Satan underneath our feet. And so our focus in this dimension, in this new realm of the Spirit, is to stay focused on God, the promises of God, and walk in the peace of God. Because the world is looking for peace. You know, we're different. We're marked, right? We're marked with God's peace. It's a mark that's on us that people see. So anyway, we're not going to go into that teaching in particular today, but we're going to talk about staying on course. But before we do, I just wanted to share this story I read that I thought was kind of funny. But there was a man who died and went to heaven. And St. Peter asked him, "Why should I let you into heaven?" And the guy said, "Well, I try to help other people." And Peter said, "Can you give me an example?" And he said, "Sure. I was at a roadside diner, and a group of Hell's Angels were in there bothering a little old lady. They had knives and guns and were scaring everyone in the place. So I stepped up to the leader, and I spun him around, and I punched him in the face, and I said, 'Hey, why don't you leave this little lady alone, and why don't you and your filthy friends just get out of here?' And they jumped on their bikes and rode away." And Peter said, that's astonishing. He said, "Wow, that was really brave. When did that happen?" And the man looked at him and he said, "About 5 minutes ago." He ended up at the pearly gates. Hallelujah. But anyway, has nothing to do with my lesson. I just like the story. So last week, once again, we talked about moving, trusting God in times of transition. And we're just going to review those points. The first one was follow Jesus, the right leader. You got to follow the Lord. The next one was, you have to leave the multitude behind. We talked about how sometimes you have to leave friends behind. You got to get away from the crowd. Jesus always got away from the crowd so he could get with his Father. Sometimes you just have to get away from everything that's going on so that you can hear the Lord clearly. The third thing was, you have to be willing to get on the boat. And the boat is the church. It's a vessel that you cannot do what you can do when you're connected in the church. And so the boat is the church. We talked about the story of the disciples being out on the boat, you know, and Jesus had fell asleep, and they were so upset about him just sleeping while they were in this storm. But you know, the boat gave them the ability to get to the other side, because Jesus had said, we're going to go to the other side. So, you know, if Jesus had said, we're going to go to the other side, then Where was their faith to have confidence in what God told them? It's like, it's the same way with us. We're in the middle of transition. And we know God's going to prepare a place for us because that's who our God is. When we bought this building, the prophetic prayer song that the Lord gave me when we were looking for a building or we're looking to build was, prepare a place for your children, Lord, that they might come. Prepare a place for your children, Lord. Make room for everyone. Prepare a place for your children that they might know you're their heavenly Father and, oh, you love them so. So I firmly believe God goes before us and prepares a place for you. Does everybody here believe that? He's gone to the heavens and prepared a place for us. And so we have to be willing to get on the boat and to keep our eyes on Jesus and trust his word. Somebody say amen. And then we have to watch our confession. Remember the disciples on the boat, they got up and they said, we're going to die. We're going to perish. You know, in the midst of everything going on, sometimes it feels like that. The pressure gets so great. But we have to guard the words of our mouth. Someone say amen. 5, learn to handle the storm. And the storm represents the waves that can be seen, represents the forces that we can see. But the unseen forces that we see are from the wind. The wind blows, you can't see it, but you can see the waves. And so many times when you're up against something, you can see what you can see with your natural eyes, but we've got to learn to see beyond that and see the unseen forces that are coming against us because we have authority over them. Tell your neighbor, you got authority. And the sixth thing was we have to allow our faith to grow. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And Jesus cried out to them and he asked them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And so we don't want him crying out to us, asking us that, but we all know how we can get bound up in fear and anxiety. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It can just grip you. It can grip you. It can just put a hook in you. And it knows no end. It just goes on and on and on and on. And so not staying there. I'm not going to say fear doesn't come. And a certain amount of fear is healthy. And a certain amount of anxiety is okay. But it's when it grips you and it paralyzes you and you cannot remember the promises of God. You don't even think about that. You just think about the negative. Anybody ever get caught in that trap? Yeah. I mean, it's just a natural process that we have to train our minds. We have to teach our minds. We have to tell our minds what it's going to think. And there's a list of what we're supposed to think about, but we're not going to go to that. But anyway, in the midst of all the transitions, I was thinking about the children of Israel when they crossed over into the promised land. That was a huge change. Do you remember the change? God was feeding them every day. And now they had to get their own food. There were so many things that changed. And that's what happens in transition. Things look different. They do not stay the same. So we're going to take a look at how to stay on course. And we're going to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And if you can, let's read this together. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. So the first thing we see is we are admonished to lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. So weights can be many things. It's a lot of times it's simply the cares of this life. It can weight you down. It can consume your time. It can consume your thought life. And of course, sin is always a burden. You know, sin subtracts from us. It takes away the good that we should have. That's what sin does. God has good for us. But the enemy, Satan, he came to steal, kill, and destroy. So sin subtracts from our lives. It takes the good away. And it becomes a weight. It can weigh us down because we're thinking, well, we're convicted often by the Holy Spirit, and you think about that sin. And you can repent of it, or you can try and deny it, but it's still going to be there, right? You can deny it all you want. You know, I've had people that tell me things that are against the Bible aren't sins. And it's like, well, if you want to believe that, you can believe that. But if God calls it sin, it's a sin. And there's no skirting your way around that. One person told me that they really believed God wanted them to be happy all the time. And I don't find that anywhere in the Word. Some of you are laughing because wouldn't that be wonderful? We have a joy. We have a joy, and in the midst of everything going on, there's a joy there. We have confident faith that God is going to see us through the hell we're suffering right now. Is that right? And so we're not happy about what we're going through, but we're happy in God. But, you know, it's the idea was, I should be happy all the time, so everybody around me should do what I want them to do, and so should God. It's just crazy how people's minds can grasp these concepts. But anyway, when we're running a race, we've got to lay aside any weights or sins. When you're running a natural race, you don't run a natural race with combat boots on, unless you're at war. But when you're running an actual race, you're going to get rid of all that stuff, and you're going to dress as light as you can, and you're not going to wear a lot of jewelry. You know, you're just not going to do it, because it is not the time to do that if you really want to win. Because often, you know, championships are won by a thousand of a second. And so you're going to lay aside every weight, and that's what the Scripture is telling us. Because in the race God has designed for us, we don't need to hold on to all that extra stuff that weighs us down. The more stuff and the more bondage that we hold on to, the harder it is to run the race. You know, at the beginning of this year, the Lord told me, less is more. God ever speak that to anybody else? Less is more. Our human nature is to want more, more, more. But you know, if we have what God says we need to have, then we've got more than enough, and we're blessed beyond measure. Blessed beyond measure. My mom, our family grew up poor, but my mom always said, I'm the richest woman in the world. Because she understood the treasures that come from heaven. That this world, you cannot buy friends. Well, you can buy friends, but they're not going to be loyal. You know, money cannot buy everything. And what really, I was talking to someone the other day, because they love to financially give, and, you know, they'll see someone in need, they'll help them out. They'll jump in and pay for something for someone. And the Lord began to convict them about that. And I said, you know what? The Lord's been speaking to me about the things that the people need the most don't cost any money. The things I need the most doesn't cost you any money. What you need the most doesn't cost me any money. Think about that. What we need is that love and acceptance and the friendship and the support from one another. Because we're in this life journey together. We're a community. We're in this life journey together. We're a family. God called us together. And so family watches out for each other, right? Hey, I had two big brothers that watched out for me. There were some boys that would like harass me walking home from Samuel Strong School. I don't know if anybody remembers Samuel Strong over there. But walking home from school, I went down Jackson Hill because we lived down in the hole down there on 6th Street. And they would just harass me. And I told my brothers, and they didn't stop. I mean, these guys did this every night. Well, at the end of the week, hey, they met my brothers. And that ended that. But family watches out for each other. And that's what God wants us to do. So let's take a look at Isaiah 43:18-19 says this. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You see, only God can make a way in the wilderness. And only God can bring rivers in the desert. But that's what he will do. The old has passed away. We have to let go of those old things so God can bring in the new that he has for us. And so what God is planning to do in the future is much greater than what we're trying to hold on to. It's that same old, you know, it's like, well, we used to do it this way. Hallelujah. Yeah, we did. Let's give the Lord a praise for that. Hallelujah. And open up our hearts to receive what he's doing now. You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever when it comes to his word and his law. But he does many new things. Have you had some new things happen in your life? Yes. New things. How boring life would be if everything stayed the same. Of course, some people like everything to stay the same. So, you know what God says? Get over it, I think. Because nothing ever stays the same in our lives. He's the same, but we're always changing. Hallelujah. So let's go to Philippians 3:13-14. It says, brethren, I do not count or consider myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there's always a reaching. We're reaching for the goal. You know, Apostle Leon said, always be lifting your sights higher. Otherwise, we'll just be staying the same. I know I shared the experience that I had in the midst of everything that had been going on with the Lord dealing with us or talking to us about selling this building. I'm a very focused academic person. And if I get an assignment, I'm on it. And so when God gives me assignments here in the church, I'm on it. That's my focus. And I work really hard not to get distracted from that because that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I was so focused in everything going on in the ministry. And the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, your assignment on this side of town, or he said, you've completed your assignment on this side of town. And it was at that moment that I was able to look up from my assignment that I was so focused on, and God began to speak to me about the future of the ministry and his plans for the ministry. Do you see how important it is that we keep our eyes on Jesus? Is that our first scripture, fixing our eyes on Jesus? We've got to keep our eyes on him, and it's important with everything you have to accomplish what God's asked you to do. But we have to recognize some things end. Is that what I was planning? No. I was expecting another assignment from the Lord. And I got one. But it pertained to the word from 2014 of moving. And so this is how God does it. It's a great adventure if you'll listen and yield. We sang this morning, perfect song, I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Until you'll surrender your agenda, everything's just going to stay the same. Or get worse. Hallelujah. So forgetting those things which are beyond and stop rehashing it, you know, just wallowing around in what happened and what's been done and the woe is me. It's looking forward, not keeping looking back. I remember our girls ran track and I remember at a track race, Lisa was running and she was always really a fast sprinter. But there was someone else that was running close to her, and that person turned around and looked behind them to see who was coming up on them and lost the race. I mean, just that fast. We can't keep looking back. We've talked a lot about not looking in the rear view mirror and trying to drive forward, you know? There's so many good examples of that. But we press toward the prize of the high calling. There's a higher place. We're not ever going to stay the same. God has taken us to new levels and into a higher dimension and to a higher dimension of spiritual warfare. But we're ready. Tell your neighbor you're ready. Because we're going to, point number two, run with endurance. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And that phrase just really hit me. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Who set that race before us? Jesus. Absolutely. Jesus. He designed our race. He knows exactly the paths you need to take. I know when the girls would be training for cross country or for track, and Leonard and I did a lot of running, you run on different terrains, you run at different speeds, you do all kinds of things to improve your time. And so I think God does that with us. We experience a whole lot of stuff that really makes us a better person and makes us more like Jesus Christ. It's the race that is set before you. So if God set the race, then God knows the course you're supposed to take. And most of the time, when you get, you know, when you get towards my age, you're just like looking back and going, I can see why and how God did that. You know, I took one college class. It was Women of the Harvest. And I loved it. See, we grew up at a church that said not to get higher education. Jesus was coming. And so why spend the time and the money? And besides that, they didn't trust it, what other people were teaching from the Bible. So you weren't supposed to take any other Bible courses. But I took one class. And that's what got us kicked out of that church. They told Leonard he had to resign as head elder, and we were done for. Because I was in Bible college. Because they didn't think women should really go to Bible college. And when they told Leonard that they wanted me to quit, Leonard said, I paid for her to go. Yeah, she's not quitting. And so then I took another class, Women of the Harvest, the second semester. And I loved it. And then something else came up, you know, that sounded, synaptic of the Gospels. And all of these different courses start, you know, they had a good course curriculum. And I kept taking more and more courses. And before I knew it, you know, I had an associate's degree. And then I asked Leonard, I said, is it okay if I get a bachelor's degree? And because I love theology, I love to study. And so, sure, I mean, I love to sit at a good teacher's feet. Amen. There are so many good teachers. And just really enjoyed that time. And then I end up getting a master's. I believe I graduated valedictorian that year. Yeah, loved it. And then got accepted in a PhD program. And I had never even dreamt of that. When Leonard and I got married, I just wanted to have babies. I just wanted to have children. We wanted to have our children young so we'd be young grandparents. And so that was my goal. Marry Leonard, have babies. And that's what I accomplished. And then when they got a certain age, everybody was pretty grown when I started school. I went to college late in life. And that was just God's plan for my life. And so you watch those things unfold and you're just like, wow, God. You know, that's not even what wasn't even in my mind. But when you're just listening to the Lord, following the course that He has set for your life, and you say, what's our two words around here? Yes, Lord. When you say that, He takes you on the greatest adventure that you can even imagine. Life is pretty dull without Jesus. Hallelujah. So we've got to press in and endure until the end. I like the scripture in Galatians 6, 9 through 10. We're all pretty familiar with this passage. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially, read the rest of it. To those who are of the household of faith. You take care of your own first. Amen? You take care of the people within your congregation, within your spiritual family first. It's just like you take care of your own family first. Amen? Yeah. I mean, for some people, that just sounds common sense. But for other people we have met, they have no clue that's how it works. But anyway, let's go on. The last thing is run with our focus on God's Son. Hebrews 12:2, again, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Focused on the Lord. Focused on the Lord. Peter showed us that in Matthew 14:22, and I'm not going to read this whole story, but it's the story of Peter getting out of the boat to walk on the water. And do you remember he got his eyes off of Jesus? And he doubted because all the storm was going on around them. And that's what happens when we're in transition. They were in transition. Once again, they were in a boat, and he got out of the boat with Jesus. Jesus called him out there, so he got out there. But, you know, he began to doubt. I'm sure we would, too, if we were out there walking on water, right? But he was brave enough to get out of the boat, so I'm not dissing Peter for what happened. But it's just an example for us to remember when things start whirling around us, it is pretty easy just to begin to doubt what God really said and get our eyes off Jesus. Because when all these problems start coming, we begin to think about those. They begin to pull us this direction. And it's okay to think about your problems in the sense that you're looking to God to help you solve them. Okay? Because, and they're never bigger than God. They're never greater than the Lord. They're never greater than the Lord. So just reading through that story, the points I picked out was when we are completely focused on Christ, everything else begins to come together. We've got to remember that in transition, you know? Next thing was God has a plan, and it's a plan that cannot fail. God's plan will not fail. God's plan will prevail. It will prevail over everything. Just like the word says, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It doesn't say that about any other organization. It's the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against because God has His plan for the church and it will not fail. So staying focused on the Son of God and keeping our eyes on him. There's a chorus to the song, In the Eye of the Storm. Anybody ever hear that song? It says, God remains in control, and in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. Remembering God's love is always surrounding us, and God has a plan that cannot fail. And so as we close today, the last point is consider him. In Hebrews 12, 3 through 4, it says, for consider him. Who's the him the scripture's talking about there? Jesus. Consider Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. When we have hostility that comes against us, when people who are not saved and they can be close to us, a lot of times it's our family members, when they have hostility against us, are making fun of us, loving Jesus, hallelujah, we can become weary and discouraged. True? In our souls, in our mind and will and emotions. But the scripture says, you have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. So you're not bleeding yet, right? Like Jesus was. Because of the way people treated him, I just can't even imagine the strength and the courage that he had to go through with what he did. And it's all because he wanted to please his Father. And he loved his Father. And he knew that we would not be saved if he did not go to the cross. Because he is the gate. He is the door. He is the way that was prepared for us to come to the Father. So he was willing to give his life for each one of us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of the Lord. We thank you, Father, for strengthening us today. We thank you, Lord, that it strengthens us, Lord, as we go through our transition in life, God, as we press forward into all that you have for us, Lord, personally and corporately, Lord, and for our family. We just thank you, God, for the strength that you're pouring into us and the revelation, understanding that you're given to us. And Lord, we just rejoice in all that you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise?
Hallelujah.